Recording.
Yes, sir.
Right. Here we go. Episode number 6 of the Taxi Squad pod.
Yes, sir.
So first thing I want to kick off the show is, if you're listening to this right now, it's probably at a different time than what you're used to, because we are now going to do 2 episodes a week. Hooray!
Yay! Woo!
And the reason for that being, there's a lot to talk about every week. Mm-hmm. It feels like right now. And I think with us recording once a week, we tend to shove too much into one particular episode and then we can't get to everything. So for example, Jack Eichel, we got to it like a week after it happened.
Yeah.
So just to avoid situations like that. And this will also be a little easier editing wise and content wise. So when we're recording, we don't have to go for like an hour. We can just cut it at like 30, 40-ish minutes, which is much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, doing 2 a week is more fun anyway. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a lot easier. Helped us kind of spread things out, as like you said, instead of just kind of cramming everything into one 45 to an hour episode. I just think it makes things a lot easier. And there's no reason for us not to. We're both around, we both have the time. So we'll see.
Yep. Okay, so this episode again, I'm gonna kick things off with a little bit more about the Blackhawks thing.
Oh, I love this. I love it. Nothing like depression and sadness to kick off your
shit. Yeah. I hate that I keep doing this, but I feel like
it's important. We need to talk. It needs to be talked about. This is your thing. You have all the information there, so take it away and we'll all listen intently. Yeah.
So my recent updates that I got from this week were, so this might have been actually prior to the last episode, but I just caught up on it over the course of this last week. But John Doe 2, that was the highlight of the news this week. Kyle Beach, obviously, we saw what happened a couple of weeks ago with that and the interviews and stuff that went on TSN. But with John Doe 2, so this being the high school student that Brad Aldrich, he went to Michigan. He was coaching the team there, I think. And then I'm just going to say for what it is. He raped a high school student. And he's being referred to as John Doe 2 for now in this investigation. The NHL, when they were asked about whether or not they would help John Doe 2 or provide any resources or support or benefits, therapy, counseling, anything, the NHL just flat out said, no, we're not going to be helping him at this point in time. And so I just wanted to highlight that again, the league doing a really, really stupid job at, first of all, if they're ever worried about PR, if any company is ever concerned about how to do PR properly, never, ever look at the NHL. Ever. They're garbage. Like, okay, in my opinion, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Let's say the NHL isn't helping John Doe 2 because they want the Blackhawks to step up and they want the Blackhawks to support him. And then, I don't know, maybe they'll match whatever counseling the Hawks give to John Doe 2. What? Okay, even if that's the reason, why are you waiting? Why is the league always so slow on these things? Like, why does the league never take the first step towards solving something? I remember when COVID first broke out. Remember? I'm going to use that as an example. Mm-hmm. First case, NBA, Rudy Gobert. That same night, like 2 hours later, entire NBA season canceled. The NBA did not hesitate. It took the NHL like half a day longer or a full day longer just to be like, how should we go about doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't the NHL on top of things all the time? Why are they always the last team to do shit?
Yeah. I think the COVID situation, you gotta give them maybe a little bit more of a little more leeway there. I do agree that just as a theme,
Simon's frozen right now.
Sorry, what's up?
You were frozen there for a sec, and
I'm cutting in and out. Hold on,
you were picking your nose up.
Yeah, lovely, love that. Just give me a second. So you can hear me now, which is fine. If I cut in and out, let me know. I'll switch over to my hotspot. But as a whole, I agree with the idea that the NHL is behind on stuff, whether it's like social justice stuff, like this stuff that happened with the shooting in Wisconsin. I think it's Kenosha, Wisconsin. Jacob Blake shooting. They were, I think, the last league to issue a statement basically saying we condemn these acts of hate against against minorities and racial injustice and stuff like that. They were the last league to do that. The COVID one, the COVID example you gave, I would like to give I give the league a little bit more leeway there, because I do like to think that like with a league that's that big, it's a business. So like shut down like right away without really having any like I just think it's a bit more there's a bit more to it than okay, the NBA shut down, we need to shut down, because the NBA obviously had a situation where one of their players like and like several people in one of their organizations tested positive. The NHL hadn't had that yet, but I'm sure if they had, they would have shut everything down like they did the very next day. But generally speaking, like again, that's only one scenario, but there are many other cases and situations that happen in hockey that we both are aware of that the league just doesn't step up on. And again, why they don't, that's another question for another day. Cause again, this just goes back to the thing of old man's club, hockey culture. It's all the same thing, guys. It's literally the same thing. Just different situations. Like it's unfortunate, but until like we see actual change in the league, like it's not gonna happen. Like it's simple as that. It's cut and dry.
Yeah. And I just think it's so obviously you know I think it's stupid, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna say it again. Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, unfit to lead this league right now. And I'm gonna give another example. Bob Murray.
Not Bill. Yeah, I was gonna say Bill Murray, my god. Yeah.
He's been let go or put on admin leave right now from the Anaheim Ducks, right? Mm-hmm. But I've heard rumors for like
he resigned. So he resigned.
Oh yeah, I didn't even catch that.
He resigned and he entered an alcohol abuse program. Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, never mind. I was gonna go on a different tangent there, but I'm gonna cut that short.
So yeah.
I had a different rumor or theory in mind. I'm not gonna go there now.
Yeah. So like. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, we may as well get into it while the topic's on. So Bob Murray, like week and a half ago, he was put on admin leave because the Anaheim Ducks were conducting an investigation about unprofessional workplace behavior with him. He ended up resigning a couple days later, and from the reports I read, I believe it's pretty well known that he was very abusive towards his coworkers, like verbally. At least that's what I've read. I don't think anyone really knows outside of the people that are actually in that workplace environment. Again, obviously hope Bob Murray gets the help that he needs, gets assistance. Again, alcohol abuse is something that I think it happens a lot more than people realize. This is something, again, it's kind of a reality check where things, there's just things that are more important than hockey, but obviously hopefully he gets the help he needs. But it's just good to see he's out of the league for now. And then again, see ya basically.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. I'm glad I got clarification on the Bob Murray thing, mm-hmm. but my initial point was,
mm-hmm.
The league very slow on everything.
Yeah.
And I saw some tweets online. Some people were trying to band together to create like a GoFundMe just for John Doe too. And someone said, wouldn't it be the most clown thing ever for people to raise more money on their own for John Doe too than the league?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to happen. It's gonna happen. Yeah. Like it's ridiculous, but it's gonna happen. Like
that's so bad for the league perspective.
Welcome to the NHL. This is literally the same point we've been driving home for like the last three episodes.
Yeah.
It's brutal, but this is where we're at. Like it's completely unacceptable, but it's where we're at.
Clownery. It's so shitty, man.
Yeah.
I read this news over the week and everything, and I write this down in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I open up my notes again every podcast, and I'm doing the surprise Pikachu face meme. It's like I know what happened, but every time I think about it and talk about mm-hmm. it again, I'm just more mad that I'm reading this. Like
mm-hmm.
this does not seem real.
It doesn't, no. Like, yeah, it's just, this whole thing's been disappointing from start to finish. Like, it just made, like, it just makes me sad. That's kind of where I'm at with this. Like, it just makes me really sad. So, like, that's kind of where we're at. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, cool.
So, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about for the Chicago Blackhawks investigation. So, John Doe, too, I hope he gets some support, bare minimum. I think we'll put a link in the description below for how you can support. Because, yeah. I mean, this shitty league is not going to, so we might as well.
Yep.
All right. So, back to other league news.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Vancouver?
I do want to talk about Vancouver. Okay, so the Vancouver Canucks are a very bad hockey team, apparently. Like, not good at all. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, yeah, so they are currently second last in their division. The only team that is below them is the expansion Seattle Kraken. The Vancouver Canucks are currently 5-9-2. The Vancouver Canucks are 5-9-2. The Seattle Kraken are 4-10-1. So, like, pretty similar records.
Can I just say something quick times?
Yeah.
I fully regret making my pick for Seattle to make the playoffs. Oh my God, that team does not look good.
I could have told you that, but I don't know. Vancouver, they have a negative 14 goal differential. That is actually worse than the Seattle Kraken. That, just to put it into perspective, the, oh my God, they're so bad, Chicago Blackhawks have a negative 18 goal differential, whereas the Canucks have a negative 14. It's only a 4-goal difference. But here's the real kicker. In their last 3 games, and I'm sure a lot of people know where I'm going to go with this because this is all over the news this morning, they've allowed 19 goals in the last 3 games.
Holy shit.
They lost to the Avalanche 7-1. They lost 7-4 to the Golden Knights, and they lost 5-1 to the Ducks last night.
Whoa.
So, yeah. The reason I want to talk about the Vancouver Canucks is I would love to hear your take on what they do next, because they're in a really interesting spot here. Like, they have a lot of good young talent. They have Pettersson, they have Besser, they got Quinn Hughes, who's really good. They have an absolutely fantastic young goalie in Thatcher Demko. Like, they have a lot of talent there. There's probably other players I'm forgetting as well. I'm just listing them off the top of my head. Bo Horvat, really good. Supposedly one of the best players on the team. But, man, like, how Jim Benning still has a job is beyond me. How Travis Green still has a job is beyond me, even though I will preface that by saying I do not think it's necessarily his fault. I am just kind of at a loss here because I didn't think the Canucks were going to be that great. I thought that they were probably one of the most overhyped teams going into the season, but I also didn't see them being this bad, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I pulled up their Cap Friendly quick times because I'm reacting to this live. I was not paying attention to the Canucks, honestly, for the last week or so, but now I'm reading up on them. It looks like Cap Friendly wise, IR and LTIR, they only have Luke Shen, Matthew Highmore. I'm saying only. Like, obviously, you don't want to ever have players. But Luke Shen, Matthew Highmore, Michael Furland, Brendan Sutter, and Brady Cooper. That's it. So no big players, right? Yeah. Safe to say that, other than Michael Furland. But I don't think he wouldn't be on there like the first or second lines, right? Don't think so.
I don't know. Again, it doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, it's 3.5, but like, he's also been on there for a while. Like, he's done. He's not coming back. Like, he is like done. Like, his career's over.
Oh, okay. So right now the Canucks lines look Pearson, Miller, Hoglander.
Okay. Interesting.
But Colson, Horvat, Garland.
Oh my God. But Colson on the second line. Yeah. True.
Dickinson, Pettersson, Besser.
Wait, did you say Pettersson on the third line?
This is just based off of Canucks Army left wing lock, I think. I don't think this makes any sense. Okay. Look at Daily Faceoff.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now as well.
Yeah. Even on that side, it looks like Elias Pettersson's put on the third.
Oh my God. Okay. Cool. All right. Love that.
And then Tyler Mott, Juho Lemikko. It's a made-up name.
Lemikko. Yeah. That one I know. Yeah.
And Alex Chason.
Oh my God. JT Mills, our first line center. That is ridiculous. Fire everyone.
What is going on there?
Okay. I don't know. That's ridiculous. That is actually ridiculous. Their first line should be their third line. That is ridiculous. This is backwards. This is actually backwards.
Defensive pairings. We got Quinn Hughes, Tyler Myers, then OEL and
Burrows,
then Brad Hunt and Madison Bowie.
Okay. I would like to go down a Jim Benning rabbit hole. Okay.
Sure.
Canucks fans have been calling for Jim Benning to be fired for a while now. That's no secret. If you're on Twitter, you're on Leafs Twitter, you see it all the time. Like he's just not popular in the organization, rightfully so. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the amount of money that he has like signed to players the last couple of years, it is absolutely unacceptable to the point where like I don't even understand like how he still has a job. And that's kind of where my whole Jim Benning rant is coming from. For example, Tyler Myers is currently 31 years old. He has 3 years left on his contract. He is making $6 million. That's a lot. It's a lot for Tyler Myers, who is very bad. If you go look up his advanced numbers, look by any metric, he's not a good defenseman. $6 million, and he's your third highest paid defenseman. Okay, that's fine. Their second highest paid defenseman is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who is getting paid $7,260,000. Now, I believe that's actually a bit more because I think the Coyotes are retaining some of his salary. And he has 6 years left on his contract, and he is 30. That's another very bad contract. Now, granted, I'll come back to this. Actually, no, I'm going to come back to this in a minute because there's a bigger picture to that one as well. So their blue line is atrocious. Quinn Hughes is their highest paid defenseman, rightfully so, but there have been questions about his defensive play. Again, understandable. But if you look at the group around him, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tyler Myers, Tucker Poolman, Brad Hunt, like who the hell's Brad Hunt? But Madison Bowie, Kyle Burrows, like, okay. The one thing that people, so not to make everything about the Leafs, but like, let's just take as an example here, Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley is an absolute fantastic offensive defenseman. He moves the puck really well. He quarterbacks a power play. He does a very good job of that. But the trade-off is he's very good at being an offensive defenseman, but he gets eaten alive in his own zone. So what did the Leafs do to make him more effective? They got him an extremely effective defensive partner. Who is Quinn Hughes' partner? I don't know. I off the top of my head, I don't know who it is. I guess according to Daily Faceoff, it is Tyler Myers, but like, dude, that's not good enough. Like, anyways, the other point I want to get back to though is so the reason Oliver Ekman-Larsson was brought over to the Vancouver Canucks via trade. Everyone knows this. There was I don't know the exact details, but it was Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland for Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel, Louis Erickson, I think it's like a first round pick or a first round draft pick. I want to go back and quickly look at the cap hits for these players because that is part of the reason why they're able to get OEL and Connor Garland for so cheap, because they basically asked Arizona to take all of their bad money. Jay Beagle, 1 year left, making $3 million. That's a lot for a third liner. Antoine Roussel, 1 year left. He's making $3 million. Then Louis Erickson was making a lot. Louis Erickson, 1 year left, $6 million. That is $12 million and third and fourth line players. My point here is, again, I kind of went on a bit of a tangent here, but like this man does not know how to spend money. And when he does, he just dig himself into a deeper hole. He literally just had to eat that money for one more year. They all have 1 year left on his contract. He decided to go out and get Oliver Ekman-Larsson for $7 million for six more seasons. and Connor Garland. Connor Garland's a really nice player. I will say that. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson at 6 years, at almost 7.5, because I believe the Coyotes are retaining some of it, is just too much. You don't need him. You already have Quinn Hughes.
What I initially thought when Jim Benning made the trade for OEL this summer was, oh, finally. He's getting rid of his bad contracts. He's getting OEL. Good defenseman. Cool. That was my first thought.
Yep.
And then I looked into it and I'm like, this looks like you're solving a problem for a future problem. Like you're just kicking the can down the line, but it's another ludicrous amount of money that you're putting into a player who's not going to be that effective for your organization in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so you're just buying yourself more time instead of actually addressing the issue. So your window to win with Pettersson, Besser, Quinn Hughes, et cetera, Thatcher Demko. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, and I guess that's the one thing I had to keep. I should keep in mind because, like, again, I guess both Pettersson and Hughes are free agents this offseason, and they needed the cap space. They needed that cap space free, but like, you surely could have gotten someone to take him without taking on a horrible contract like that. That's kind of where I'm at with Jim Benning. Like, again, as a Leafs fan, like, I'm happy he's still employed. Keep driving that team into the ground, like. Like just from a competitive side, like, man, like
you wanna
last a couple sorry should I go ahead?
I was gonna play a little game, but you go first.
Oh yeah, so like last episode we were talking with the Buffalo Sabres, and the thing we're talking with Buffalo is they never have any good young talent that's sustainable, not any good sustained talent in their organization. Like it feels like it's a big black hole in Buffalo. I believe that was a quote that I said. With Vancouver, they have all the talent. They're just not competitive. And then I think it's almost worse because it's like the Leafs, the expectations are there. Maybe not as high as in Toronto or something, but the expectations are still high in Vancouver. They have a lot of young talent. This is supposed to be their window, but they're one of the worst teams in the league this year. And I think the other thing is I don't know where they go from here because they have almost no room to maneuver unless they go trade someone like a Besser, like someone who makes money. But there's no one really on that roster that makes a lot of money that I think you can trade without basically completely dismantling your team.
I'm going to say one thing here. I don't actually buy these lines, the ones that we read out loud a few minutes ago. Just because I think that this might be a result of the team being so bad that the coach is just trying to mix up the lines right now.
That's fair. I'll give you that. Yeah.
So, yeah, like there's no way Pettersson and Besser are going to be on the third line or even the second line. Come on.
I don't know, man. Like I'm looking at it right now. You're not trading Pettersson. You're not trading. Maybe you trade Besser. Bo Horvat. He's a captain. I don't think you move him. JT Miller, you could move. I think there'd be teams interested in him. Connor Garland, you just got him. I think he just extended him, so I think you're not moving him. But like Tanner Pearson, Jason Dickinson, Tyler Mott, like,
why are we having this conversation though? Like, why are we at this point? It's because
that's the thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's because of these horrible free agent signings that he keeps making.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Here, I'm going to play a little game now.
I love games.
Okay. I've seen this tweet floating around, so you might have seen this.
Oh, okay.
For Twitter. Okay. But there are 7 Canadian GMs.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Are there 7? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 7, yeah, 5. 7 Canadian GMs.
Sorry, 7 Canadian GMs are 7 GMs that are born in Canada or 7 GMs of Canadian teams?
Sorry, 7 GMs of Canadian teams.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure. Okay, we're good.
Can you? Okay, you make a prediction. Who do you think has been the longest tenured?
Kevin Cheveldayoff, 2011.
Yes,
I saw it. Yeah.
Go. Okay. So yeah, number two, sorry. Who do you think?
Okay, hold on. I am going to quickly pull up. Not the organization. I need to see all the Canadian teams. I'm not cheating.
Fine.
Hold on. So I think. Oh man. Okay. So Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, and then Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. Okay, I think I can do this. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. Cheveldayev won at 2011.
Correct.
Bergevin 2.
Yep. Good job.
Okay. I think 20 Peter Chiarelli was before Ken Holland, so he's gonna be towards the end. Brad Tree Living was also hired later. Jim Benning at 3.
Nope.
Oh, was it Brad Tree Living at 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it. Jim Benning at 4.
I think. But the difference between Brad Tree Living and Benning was just 1 month.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm
3 weeks.
Okay, I don't care. I'm giving myself that. Whatever. Okay, cool. Yeah. And then Pierre Dorion 5. No. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, I spoil it then. Pierre Dorion is number 5. Yeah.
Okay, then Kyle Dubas 6, and then, yeah. Oh my God, Ken Holland 7. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I thought Kyle Dubas was before Pierre Dorion. I forgot about our boy, but okay, I'll take it.
Let me give you the dates now. So Kevin Cheveldayev, June 8th, 2011.
Okay.
Mark Bergevin, May 2nd, 2012. Brad Tree Living, April 28th, 2014. Jim Benning, May 21st, 2014. So almost right next to each other. Pierre Dorion, April 10th, 2016. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already been 5 years.
Yeah.
Almost 6 years now. Yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. Kyle Dubas, May 11th, 2018. It feels longer with Kyle Dubas because he's
been... Yeah, he was there before, but yeah. Yeah.
And then Ken Holland, May 7th, 2019. Right. So, what is the average life expectancy of a GM on the Canadian team? It seems like forever.
Yeah. Well, like, it'll be interesting because it seems like this year, Tree Living and Benning could be potentially on the hot seat. We'll see. Calgary started really well, actually. So I'll see how they keep it going. But apparently the owner was on the road trip as well that they just concluded or that they're currently on. So that's a red flag. But apparently it was planned. I think it's more so to spend time with like people on the team, but like, that's kind of sus. Say what you will, but like, I genuinely think there's a good chance that they like Travis Green will be fired soon, and same with Jim Benning, because I think the owner has defended Jim Benning to the point now where it's like, if you do it, you're like, it just looks bad. Like you're making the product of your hockey team just look bad, and I don't think they can afford to do that. That's all.
I don't see how any organization can have someone at the helm for 10 plus years. Like, no, let's say you're the best leader ever. Let's say you're the best GM ever. Yep. No way can your expertise, your experiences from 10 years ago apply to now. No one has the capability to evolve that much. Yep. You might be the best, but there's no way you're going to be the best now and always. You might have been at one point, but you can't keep up. Same thing with Gary Bettman. 30 years? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. There's no one better. Kevin Cheveldayev. There's no one better. Jim Benning. There's no one better.
Well, hold on. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question off of that point. You said Jim Benning was brought in 2014, right? Or 2014, 2015?
2014, yeah.
How many times do you think the Canucks have made the playoffs since then?
Oh, let's see. I know they made it once in 2014-15.
Yep.
And then COVID? Two?
Yep.
Just two?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay, so let me read you their records. 2014-2015, 48-29. That's a very solid season. That's 19 games over 500. Yeah, anyways. Yeah. 2015-2016, 38-13, I believe. This chart on this thing is weird, but like basically, like they have got over 30 wins. Like, sorry, three times, but like 30, like so, in amount of wins, 2014-2015, 48, 31, 30. 31, 35, 36. And like, yeah, like it's brutal. Like,
that's horrible. I mean, I can't really say much as a Leafs fan. At least we made the playoffs more since 2014-15.
Yeah, but they also won to the cup final, so I can't even say anything.
Who, the Canucks? No.
Yeah, 2011.
Oh, 2011. Yeah, you're right.
Where they burned their city down, apparently. Like, yeah. Man, I won't talk about that. Sorry, Vancouver. That was really rude.
Look. My point was, I think their brightest moment of this era of the Canucks season, of this era of the Canucks roster was the COVID year. And when they made it to, I think,
round two, round three.
I forgot
three. What exactly it was. I think,
was it the Western Conference Finals?
They lost in the second. All right, sorry, lost in the second round, but they made the qualifying rounds. Was technically the third round, but like, technically, not really.
But still,
yeah.
So that we expected the team from there to take a step forward, right?
Yep, 100%.
Two steps back.
Mm-hmm. Who was their goalie before? It was Thatcher Demko, and it was Markstrom. That's who it was. They lost Markstrom. Yep. That's what it was. Right. But yeah, but they also have Demko. Demko has been unbelievable this year. He has gotten no help, though. That's the problem.
This is all self-inflicted. I'm counting down the days between now and when Jim Benning gets fired. And I would say that I'll give him till January.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's gone.
I was going to say, I feel very comfortable saying he doesn't last two more weeks with the Canucks.
Yeah.
I feel very comfortable in saying that. If they keep losing like this, dude, the fan base is already coming for their heads, dude. It's bad. Like, there's turmoil there. Like, it is like it's toxic out there right now. Cause like, I think this is something the fans have been calling for a while. And then the Aquilinis basically said, who are the owners of the Canucks, basically said, we're going to let this ride out. We're going to do it. And then like, nothing's changed. Like, yeah. Anyways, that's my rant on the Canucks. They are in trouble. That's a given. And I don't see them digging themselves out of it anytime soon. So, yeah. Fun.
See what happens then. I see this core doing really well. Like, if you have a team like this, you should do a lot better than what they are. But this, mm-hmm. I would put the entire blame mm-hmm. on Jim Benning.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
And they've tried changing coaches too. I don't think you can entirely blame this on Travis Green. Can you? Don't know.
I'm trying to remember when Travis Green came in. I think he was, it was after Willie Desjardins. That's who it was. I don't know. Like, again, I don't know. It was John Tortorella, Willie Desjardins, and then Travis Green. I say that, sorry. I didn't know much about Travis Green when he came into the NHL. I still don't know much about him today, but like I don't know how he does, how people view him as an actual coach. That's my thing. So I find it difficult to actually evaluate him when I know almost nothing about him. I will say that like, when you have that much talent, and you should be able to put some type of win together. So like, my opinions of him as of late have been kind of not bad, but like, questionable. I've been questioning him and his abilities.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Yeah, I guess we just wait and see then. I'd say by New Year he'll get fired, and you say within the next 2 weeks. Okay, we'll see who gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna pivot now.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a rundown of this roster now.
Okay.
Of this specific team roster, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Austin Matthews.
Fuck. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Austin Matthews, John Tavares, okay. Mitch Marner, Nylander, Kerfoot, Richie, David Kemp, Kasha, Engvall, Bunting, Simmons, Kirill Semyonov. I liked him, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Jason Spezza, Joey Anderson. These are the forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Ilya Mikheyev, rumored to be back soon.
Oh no.
Yeah. What do you do? What are you doing? And also, tangentially related to that question. What do you do with the defense? Right now, you have 7 capable defensemen.
Okay. I have my answer locked and loaded on the defense. I've had this prepared for a while. Hold on. Okay. I'm going to quickly pull up the forward roster. What do I do? Okay, so let's quickly knock a couple of these things off. You're not moving Matthews. You're not moving Marner. You're not moving Nyland. You're not moving Tavares. Unfortunately, anyways, okay. I think one of two things happens here. Number one, you trade Pierre Engvall, or you send him or put him on waivers and send him down to the AHL.
Yeah,
that's my number one. Number two, depending how you feel about him, maybe move Alex Kerfoot, but I don't see them doing that for Ilya Mikheyev. Number three, you scratch Pierre Engvall, or you send someone down. I'm not sure who here is waivers exempt. I assume Semyonov is. You send Semyonov down. You scratch Pierre Engvall. You dress Ilya Mikheyev for like 2 weeks, and then you trade Ilya Mikheyev. I think those are the only options. But I just don't see any other situation where the only other thing I could see him doing is like having some type of, they're not even going to use a timeshare. Like I was going to say, maybe they timeshare like Wayne Simmonds and Ilya Mikheyev. I don't see them doing that. Like I think Pierre Engvall and Ilya Mikheyev right now are going to be battling for the last forward spot on this roster. And to be frank, I don't really like either of them.
Me neither.
I used to think Mikheyev was a really handy player, really nice third line player, but he can't shoot. He can't and that wrist injury again, super tragic, super unfortunate that it happened to him. It sucks that it happened, but his shot was already soft to start off with. It feels even softer now. He's a hardworking player.
And he got a thumb injury.
Mm-hmm. He's a hardworking player. I have no problems with the person. He's a hardworking player, but that's not what this team needs. This team has this team needs effectiveness and like depth scoring, and you're not getting out with Ilya Mikheyev. He's on a cheap deal. If some he requested a trade, so this isn't a problem of he wants to go somewhere else. He wants to stay in Toronto. If you get him onto a team that will actually use him, I think he will I just don't see a place for him. Just kind of black and white. I just don't see a place for him on this roster.
I don't either. Right now you have Pierre Engvall for 1.25. You have Mikheyev once he comes back from injury reserve at 1.645.
Yeah.
Both are, in my opinion, more than they're worth right now for this roster at least.
Yep. Mikheyev's not worth their 1.6. I would have him at one. And I think I think one's a perfect number for him. He's a good penalty killer. He's a defensively responsible forward, but you're getting almost zilch out of him in terms of his offensive production.
You're getting, oh my God. Oh, the Michael Bunting signing looks so much more and more better every single day.
Yep. Also, to follow up your next question, what do you do with the defense?
Yep.
Oh man. I think he moved Dermott. You moved Dermott. Yeah.
I'd be right. The first episode of my prediction.
Yep. Yeah. Hey. And I think I also said I could see him moving him as well. But my thing is, okay, so Justin Hall is the clear one where everyone's like, oh, you got nothing for him. He should have protected McCann instead of Hall, exposed Hall. Again, I think those takes are slightly, I can see why people feel that way. I just think it's difficult to look that way in hindsight. Because again, we're Justin Hall was coming off of a season where he was absolutely unbelievable. So again, that's the only reason why I have a problem with take like that. But Dermott's also younger. He can play the right side. He can also play the left side. He's an extremely affordable defenseman. And hey, you might get something nice back for him. But And this is more, okay, I think that Timothy Liljegren deserves to play every night. That's kind of how I feel right now. I like Sandin's game. I like Liljegren's game. I think they both should be on the third pair every night. And this revolving door of defensemen is causing a problem, which is it's never a problem to have too many good players. Let's just get that out of the way. But I just think that Liljegren is better than, I think Liljegren's better than Dermott. I think Dermott's a good player. I think he's a pretty solid three right D, but I just think Liljegren's better. And Hall, you hold on to him. Hopefully him and Muzz figure it out, but you're also not getting, you're getting almost nothing back for a right-handed defense and making $2 million.
Can I make a prediction here?
Yes, sir. Oh,
here's what I think the Leafs do. Between now and the trade deadline, they're going to trade a forward away. I don't think Pierre Engvall or Ilya Mikheyev, one of them is going for sure.
I'd Alex Kerfoot.
Or Alex Kerfoot.
I think it's going to be
3.5 for Kerfoot.
Someone will take Kerfoot for 3.5. Kerfoot's a very good player.
Not on this team, though. I don't think if it's on this team. And I don't really want to like think about next year.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Morgan Riley kicking in at 7.5 again. These contracts have to go.
Okay. So my counter that Morgan Riley thing with caps going up, Phil Kessel's coming off the books, and they have some players coming off.
I keep forgetting about Phil fucking Kessel.
Yes, 1.2. So again, like, and the cap's going up. So like, again,
I thought it was stagnant for the next few years.
It's going up, but no, because they just signed that massive TV deal with ESPN.
Okay.
So again, it's not going to be a huge spike, but it's going to be the point where if they can make it work now, those four or five contracts, like they, like, again, it's not ideal to have that much money locked up in those four players or five players, but like going forward, it should be manageable because it sounds like the cap is only going to go up from here, which is really good to hear as a, like, coming from a Leafs fan, but you can't have players making $3.5 million on, like, anyways.
So that's my prediction on the forwards. Mm-hmm. Defense wise, I don't think they touch it at all. I would love if they maneuvered it a little bit, but I don't think they're going to touch it at all. And here's the reason. It's not whether or not I want them to, but mm-hmm. I have a feeling they're not going to touch Jake Muzzin, mm-hmm. Riley Brody, Justin Hall, Travis Dermott, Rasmus Hantin, and Timothy Liljegren. They're going to leave it the same. You have seven capable defensemen. Capable. Hall, Liljegren, Sandin, yep. Whatever. They can all play third. Dermott can as well. Let's say you get an injury in the playoffs, like a Jake Muzzin situation event happens again in game six. Who are you going to throw up?
Well, here's my question, right? Like, again, I think that's a very good point, and that's kind of why I said it's always better to have more, like, you can never have enough good players. My question is what if you get an offer? Like, again, I don't know what the offer would be. I'm not sure who the player is, but like, let's say someone comes to you and says, we'll give you this pretty solid defenseman for like Alex Kerfoot and Travis Dermott. I think you take it. I guess that's the thing. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, if Kyle Dubas thinks it'll make the team better, he will do it. And that's kind of where I'm coming from, because I could see him like packaging multiple assets together to get a better asset, if that makes sense, or a better player coming back. Because like we talked about, there are multiple players on this team that are like, that are solid, but they shouldn't have a spot on this team. Like Pierre Engel, for example, I think he can be a handy, useful player. He just doesn't fit on the team. Same thing with Ilya Mikheyev, same thing with Alex Kerfoot.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I think Kerfoot fits a lot better on this team than Mikheyev and Engvall. That's, yeah.
The thing with Engvall as well is I've given him so much slack over the last few years, being like, oh, you know, this guy's finding his game. Sometimes he makes really good decisions. Sometimes he's weird with the puck. Like, he'll just give it randomly away. Sometimes I question his decision-making. But he's 25 now. Oh. Like, what you see is what you get at this point with Pierre Engvall.
Yeah. I give him maybe one more year, and then we go from there.
you said
you had a game you want to play. Or was that the game?
The game was the GM guessing game, yeah.
Got it. Okay, yeah, got it.
Fun game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I enjoyed it. That was fun.
I have one more thing that I want to go through. It's going to be another game. So, okay,
I love games.
Another 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
You know what? You know what I'm going to call this? I'm going to make this a segment.
What?
I'm going to make this Simon Says. So, I'm going to ask I'm going to ask you a question. And the purpose of the segment is to see what Simon Says the answer is.
Okay.
It's not the traditional, like Simon Says this or whatever. But
I like this. Yeah.
The Texas.
Like this version better. I like this version way better.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. So here, I'm going to give, this is funny. I'm going to give you some stats.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to do this. Right now, for the first Simon Says game, November 15th, Taxi Squad episode number 6, we're going to play this. Okay. Who do you think are the top 5 skaters in the NHL right now with the most points? So top 5 points in the NHL.
Oh, my God. This is brutal because this is going to be possible.
Damn it. Frozen again at the most exciting and crucial moment. This would be so fun if you had good internet.
I know. Give me a second. I am in the process of fixing it. Give me a second. My hotspot's back online. This is all. We should leave this in. Leave it in for the gags. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Give me a second. I might cut out for 2 seconds. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're back. Good. Okay.
Yay.
We're back on. Lovely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So top 5 skaters in terms of points.
Yeah.
One. I think Ovechkin is one, or he's near the top. Give me does this have to be an order? Or can it just be names?
I think it's a little hard to just give me names.
Okay. Oh my God. Ovechkin, McDavid,
yep.
Dreisaitl.
Yep.
Who's been really hot to start off? I'll go like Matthews and like. No. I take that back. No, not Matthews. Never mind. Damn, bro. Jesus, this is hard. Nylander. I'll go Nylander. And then, no. oh, my God. Oh, I'm shitting the bed right now.
Give you me got like, 3 for 5. You got 3 for 5.
Okay. Who are the other two? Who am I missing?
I don't think you would have gotten the other two. At number, so Dreisaitl, McDavid, Ovechkin are first to third. Holy shit, 31 points. Dreisaitl. Number 4, Anaheim Ducks.
Oh my God.
You know who I'm talking about?
No. Is it Trevor Zegras?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
That's Troy Terry.
Right. Damn it. He's on like some. He's, yeah, I should have known that. He's on a massive point streak right now. He has like a 13 game point streak or something like that.
Yeah. That guy's insane.
Yeah. Who's the last
and
one?
And number 5th. Evgeny Kuznetsov. And that makes really? Sense. Isn't Backstrom out? That's why, right?
Yeah, but like still, yeah. I didn't think he'd be 5th overall on points. God damn.
Well, it makes sense because if Ovechkin is doing that well, I would assume his line mate's doing similar.
Yeah, work. But like, yeah, I guess that's right. I don't know. Wow, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, Troy Terry. Good for him.
Right?
He also recently requested a trade, so that's kind of interesting.
Okay, so you got 3 for 5 for skaters. I'm going to say the same thing now. I'm going to say the same thing.
Oh, no, no.
Not for what you think yet. Not for what you think. I'm going to play 3 versions of it. So first you got skaters. Then defenseman is next.
Oh, oh, my God.
Or defenseman, top 5.
Okay, defenseman. Okay. Give me Victor Hedman. Give me, oh, my God. No, oh, Lord. Okay, Cale Makar. No, oh, my God. Hold on. Morgan Rielly. Wow. This is really unfortunate. I can't. I'm 0-3 right now. Oh my God.
Zero.
Chris Letang.
Nope.
John Carlson.
Nope.
Who? What the hell?
You know what's even funnier is all these names that you said, whether it was for forwards or defensemen, aren't even in the top 10 for either category.
Wow, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. Quinn Hughes. I got one. Yay. man. Roman Josi, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. Roman Josi. I'm at 2.
One more. You can do one more. Come on.
Seth Jones.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I'll take that.
Okay. If you can get Seth Jones, you can get this. You can get this one. I'll give you a hint. Number 1 in NHL points right now for a defenseman.
I don't freaking know that. My God. Like.
Okay. Let me give you an even bigger hint. Who won the Norris Trophy last year?
Oh my God. Do I even know who won the Norris Trophy last year? Oh my God. This is sad. This is actually sad.
Okay. Let me give you an even bigger, bigger hint.
I don't like this. It's going to look real bad.
plays for the New York Rangers.
Oh, Adam Fox. Damn it. Yeah. I knew that. Fuck. I didn't know that. I forgot it. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah. So you got Adam Fox at number one, Roman Josi number two, Quinn Hughes number three. Mm-hmm. Number five is Seth Jones. And I left number four because I am a little surprised. It's Tony DeAngelo on the Hurricanes.
That's not surprising. He was a top scoring defenseman like 2 years before he ever got caught from the league. So I'm not super surprised. But hey.
The Dick is in top five. Mm-hmm. Sorry, whatever. Say what you will about Tony DeAngelo.
He quarterbacks the power play now.
Yeah, he does.
So it's not surprising.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go goalies.
Oh dear God.
And this is the last thing before we wrap up here. Goalies. Let's give me top five for save percentage.
This is ridiculous. Hey, okay. Before I start, I will preface by saying I believe we're still in the part of the season where backup goalies are qualifiers. okay. Oh man. Give me Carter Hutton.
No.
Give me Casey DeSmith.
No.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Think about this. Think. Who's okay? Vasilevsky. Has to be on there. Oh my God. Okay. Yes. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Mackenzie Blackwood
is fifth. Yes.
Okay. I got one. It's a good start. Let's go. Damn. This is ridiculous because I think of all the backup goalies now, too. This is a crapshoot. This is an actual crapshoot. Fleury, no way. Grubauer, no way. Sorokin. Ilya Sorokin. No. Igor Shesterkin.
Nope.
No. Georgiev.
Nope.
Oh my God. Swayman.
Nope.
Jesus.
Okay. Oh,
Dan Vladar.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Who? Give me it. I give up. I'm done guessing backup goalies.
I'm glad you didn't get any of these names because I think this is going to be really fun now. So. You got fifth, Mackenzie Blackwood at 0.937 save percentage right now. So, okay, obviously these numbers are inflated because it's the early season, but what's surprising about this is these top four goalies, these top five are all starters.
Oh, that's disappointing. That's so disappointing. For you it is. Freddie Anderson's going to be one.
Sergei Bobrovsky, 940 save percentage, leads the league.
Yeah, he's been on fire. He's been good.
Number two, James Reimer, 940.
Hey, I love me some rhyme time. I love me some
number rhyme. Three. How could you not get this one? Number three.
Jackie boy. Yeah.
Stupid.
Damn.
939.
Man. Yeah.
Number four. Number four to round out. Three of three Leafs legend goalies, Freddie Anderson at 938.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Jonathan Bernier. I would have fucking lost my shit. Okay,
cool. I'm so curious. Well, I wonder how he's doing right now. Jonathan Bernier.
I think he's doing pretty well, man. I don't know, but I think he's doing pretty well.
Okay, what do you think his save percentage is right now? He's on the New Jersey Devils, Jonathan Bernier.
907.
910.
Okay, I'll take that. That's close.
The Devils, not bad for the Devils.
Yeah. Well, hey, Blackwood can get a 943. So what's going on there, Johnny Bernier?
Blackwood's at 937.
No, sorry, 937. It's close enough. Buffalo, six points.
So top three of five goalies as of November 12th, number 15.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Or were Leafs goalies at one point.
Yeah.
And goals against average, 1 through 5 is Anderson right now. Then Markstrom, then Reimer, then Jack Campbell, then Sergei Bobrovsky.
Welcome to 2021.
Wow.
Well, like Sergei Bobrovsky's in a goalie tandem with Spencer Knight, who is really good. He's a really good young goalie. So he's not really doesn't have to play all the games. So keep that in mind as well.
Yep.
Jack Campbell has been unbelievable. James Reimer has been really good. Again, his backup's Aiden Hill, who's not that great. Who else you say? You said Freddie. Yeah, Freddie's been unreal. It's just wow. That's I'm genuinely surprised. I didn't think there were gonna be that many starting goalies in the top five. Wow.
last question before okay, you don't have to answer this right now. We can answer
last
this
segment of Simon Says. The last question of Simon Says. It is my curse. I have to answer it.
Fine.
Go ahead.
Just say yes or no answer, but we can go into more detail next episode. Mm-hmm. Will Jack Campbell make the U.S. Olympic roster? Yes or no question?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to say no. Okay. I will explain next episode.
Okay.
All right, let's wrap it there.
All right, see you, everyone, again. And do not forget to subscribe to our Spotify, our YouTube channel, even though I think the YouTube channel's been a little dry recently. So we'll clean that up for you.
Yeah.
YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere else where you can hear podcasts. Don't forget to follow me and Armand on Instagram. Don't forget to follow the Taxi Squad on Instagram. Our handles and our social media information will be in the description. And we will see you on Wednesday or Thursday, because I guess Thursday is probably going to be when it comes up. So, yeah, we will see you then. Let's go.
Peace.